This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
EAGLES, Eagles.
And welcome in, everybody, to a Football Friday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Krause. That's my co-host, Johnny Mack, John McMullen, here with you on a Football Friday, the before the Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara, California. Feels like a snoozer so far. We'll see if it gets the big ratings.
Come on, Philadelphia.
On the Sunday,
it's going to get phenomenal ratings just because it's a snoozer in Philadelphia. Because I've heard this a lot.
Oh, you don't thought you thought you agree? It's been a snoozer.
No,
everywhere.
Absolutely not. It will be. It will. I guarantee. It will be the largest watched Super Bowl of all time.
Well, yeah,
I guarantee it.
I think so too. I mean,
What are we talking about?
I just feel like the surrounding hype of it, John, is not as big. Now, obviously, it's
Philadelphia-centric, man. Philadelphia-centric. It is a big. I'll tell you where it's a big fucking deal. Boston. It's a big fucking deal in Seattle.
Well,
it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And the rest of the NFL that isn't disappointed in their team.
This is not as big of an event, though, man. Radio Row hasn't been as popping.
That is a criticism of the NFL because, for some bizarre reason, I don't know if people know, but San Francisco is not that close to Santa Clara. It's like an hour and a half to get everywhere. So they really fucked up the logistics of it.
Miserable.
The media center and Radio Row downtown San Francisco and, all the stuff revolving the games an hour and a half away, but more in rush hour. It's absurd. Think about that. It's like almost driving from where I live in South Jersey to New York. And you got to do it every day to go back and forth with the teams, and the teams are in Santa Clara, and the stuff's in San Francisco. And if you're at Radio Row, you got to be in San Francisco every day, and then you got to figure out how to on the shuttle buses. You got to work out.
That's a catastrophe.
Yeah, I mean that's a league problem. But as far as I know most people don't care, but it's interesting to me because I've done a lot of TV rating stuff over the years. Nielsen has changed its methodology for ratings. What a fraud, man. Yeah, the NFL basically paid them to say, hey, we're more people. What a fraud that company is. Boy, that's going to be a scandal one day. They already changed. They changed their methodology once. They had to change it again because everybody else was complaining so much. If that doesn't highlight what a fraud that company is, I don't know what will.
I get envelopes in the mail from them with like a dollar bill inside.
What? What a fraud. I can't. And people still take them seriously. I have no idea. I have no idea why. None. But anyway, I digress. Yeah. It will be reported as the largest viewed Super Bowl of all time.
I agree with you. I think you're right. I think you're right. It just feels like there's not a lot of hype.
Well, in this town, there is zero hype in this town.
You don't feel like it's around the league a little bit more?
Nope, not at all.
All right, good stuff. Super Bowl Sunday this weekend, obviously. We'll talk a little bit about that game. We got an opened up show, so we'll take some super chats. A lot to talk about here in Eagle Land. A lot of turnover seems to be happening. John, yesterday the Eagles brought in another new coach. It didn't take them long to replace the run game coordinator for Jeff Stallings. They brought in Ryan Mahaffey at the end of our show. We did talk about it briefly because it came, the news broke right near the end of our program after John Stolness got off. So they brought in Sean Mannion, 33 years old. They brought in Josh Grizzard, 35 years old. And now they have also brought in Ryan Mahaffey, 38-year-old, former wide receiver coach with Green Bay, former Packer assistant, worked with LaFleur for a little bit. Another guy with kind of people seem to like him a lot in the league. John, what do you make of how this coaching staff is building out so far?
Yeah, well, it's an indication everybody's getting what they wanted. I think that's the most important part, the most important clue that has been left here. Everybody who wanted significant change, everybody who wanted to go more toward a Kyle Shanahan offense, Sean McVay style offense, they're going to get their wish. At least they're going to try to do it. And they are highlighting to everybody, even to the point that Jeff Stoutland is out. Either get on board or get out. That's what they're highlighting. And yeah. Get ready, because if Jeff Stoutland can go, anybody can go.
Absolutely.
So get, and that includes players. Get on board, or they're going to go in a different direction.
John, there's some news that came out yesterday about Landon Dickerson. We got to talk about that. I'm reading right now. Mike Garofalo put this out. For those who don't know, Landon Dickerson might not be here as long as we probably thought he would be. Can't speak in certainties yet. We will see how it unfolds. Mike Garofalo tweeted this after Jeff McClain's podcast. He said, an offseason of significant change for the Eagles could include guard Landon Dickerson's uncertain future. Jeff McClain mentions here Dickerson's no certainty to return. I've heard some of the same. Only 27 and 5 years into his career, but his body has been through a lot. To be determined. Whoa! That's big there, John.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't panic yet, but we've talked about the offensive line a lot, the injuries. I've been far more concerned with Landon Dickerson than Cam Jurgens. I've mentioned this numerous times. His comments after the playoff loss were particularly troubling. When he intimated, look, he has no idea if he's going to get healthy again. So I think the natural assessment, he's 27 years old. I think the natural assessment is Landon is going to bounce back and he's going to keep going. To me, the bigger question is, you know, is he going to be able to recapture the same level or even close to the same level? Last year was difficult on him. I mean, difficult. And he played through a lot of stuff. And then you add the other layer. Then now you have to add another. That was before. Now you have to add another layer of Jeff Stoutland leaving and the shift away from a running scheme that basically of all the offense, all their great offensive linemen, the one that fit the best was Landon Dickerson, I would argue. I mean, it fit him the best. Just a big, powerful
mauler.
Yes, mauler. Good adjective there. Tailor-made for him. So I think he's got a lot to think about. Ultimately, like I said, I don't think he's going to walk away. He loves Jordan Mailata. That's his best friend in the world. He loves Cam. He likes playing with them. But is he going to be back to the level he has been in the past? That is a big question mark. And if he does decide to walk away, I mean, he's already made a lot of money. If he does decide to walk away, it wouldn't surprise me either. But, you know, it's just one of those things as you go through a season, and especially as one is difficult. When it ends, you always feel like, boy, because football is such a grind, you kind of feel like, do I really want to go through this again?
Yeah, right.
And then as you recharge the batteries, almost always they come back. So I'm not going to think he's going to retire at this point, but adding the change in Stoutland, that's just another aspect to it. But he went through a lot last season. That's why I've been consistently saying that. Because I get it from your perspective. You've talked about Cam and back surgery, and back surgery is so uncertain. But Cam's kind of like, yeah, I'll be fine. But he needs some time. It's a process. Landon's like, he's just.
Yeah, he himself is uncertain.
Yeah. And he had so many injuries. And going back to college, with the reason he was a second-round pick and not a first-round pick is because he had two ACL tears. His knees are, they always do those estimates. He's probably got the knees of an 80-year-old.
Yeah, I wonder how much he's thinking about the future, too. I mean, he might not be able to walk in 10 years, man, 20 years, if he keeps getting more of these injuries.
Yeah, and he just got that's
common for most NFL players. I mean, Cilio talks about it all the time. He didn't play as long as a lot of some of these guys, like Landon did. He did play a long career, obviously, and pro and some of the other leagues. But I mean, he's like, I get out of bed and still, it's my body still creaks every day. I can barely walk. So that's a factor, especially for these big dudes, these big lineman football players.
And he's a big dude.
He's a big dude, man. Yeah. And his wife's gotten him doing more house. I know I keep bringing that up, but the more I hear about Landon, the more I'm like, why isn't she letting him get some rest?
Wow. And he's now
his football career might come to an end, man.
I'm not gonna blame his wife.
I'm not blaming her. I just laughing about it.
And then I got one asshole on social media goes down around. He was overweight, didn't take the offseason seriously. Boy, these people, man. I mean, yeah, you got bad knees, you got a bad back, you got a bad, and he's and he can't work out the way, and you go straight to he's overweight. I mean, part of the reason he is who he is because he's so big and so powerful. It's like everybody's a freaking video game. But I will say the difference and. A quick journalism standpoint, because Jeff is phenomenal, and I always say he's the best reporter that covering the Eagles. So the podcast is different. When you see it in the Inquirer, it's real. The podcast is different. He's talking about this, and I haven't listened to it yet, and I'll listen to it. But he hasn't reported he's thinking about retirement yet. He's giving you the context of what I've been giving you on this show, that he was freaking banged up and he went through a lot and he's got a lot to think about. That's where we are with Landon Dickerson.
Man, big update on Landon Dickerson. We will see what ends up happening with Landon. Obviously a key component to this football team. John, now you got to envision a world, and I don't think we have to go there yet, but no Landon. Now I think he'll be back. I'm with you, but how long? No Jeff Stoutland. I mean, John, the crux of this team. I mean, we talk about how this has been the best 10-year run in franchise history. The best decade. Jeffrey Lurie this, Jeffrey Lurie that. The whole run was built on the O-line, dude. The whole thing. Super Bowls were won on the O-line. All the success, all the wins. Everything is built on the offensive line. Why does it feel like it's being neglected? Now, Landon is obviously a different circumstance. That's not neglected. That's just a player that's banged up. But, man, it feels like starting with Stoutland and the way this is unfolding, it doesn't feel like they're prioritizing the right thing to me.
Well, I mean – again, you can't have it both ways. Like, everybody wanted them to change their offensive philosophy and change their offensive scheme, and I get it because it was ugly. And you're, by all indications and everything I hear behind the scenes, you're getting it. You are getting it.
I know. It does seem like that.
And part of that is you have to shift to more of a Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay style running game. And that means what it means with Jeff Stoutland, as we already saw. That means you're going in with a different approach that doesn't necessarily on paper fit what you have because you built it up for the other approach. Like, and I'm not in San Francisco, obviously, but you know, there's a lot of rumblings out there that this is from the top. This is Jeffrey. Like, we're changing, and get on board or don't get on board.
So you think it is Jeffrey?
Well, I can't speak conclusively because I'm not there, but I've heard it from a number of people. So people around the league think it's Jeffrey.
And who do you think Jeffrey puts the pressure on? Well, who's the pressure point? Is it the quarterback? Is it the coach? Who is it?
I think everybody, but the first scapegoat would certainly be Nick. Yes. Now,
so this whole setup, all right, that's happening, John. They're clearly building out this West Coast offense staff. Mannion, Mahaffey, all right, Grizzard, Sirianni as the head coach, Young, whatever. The whole whatever adjective you want to use to describe it. All right. Is it Nick or is it the ownership and the front office?
Changing philosophy?
Yes, the whole thing. Is this Nick's – like Nick Nick hired the coach. They put it out that Nick fired Petullo. This entire shift, is this Nick Sirianni trying to put his team in a better position to elongate his career and his, you know, stay as head coach? Is this an organizational thing?
It's a difficult question to answer because nobody's going to be honest about it. But, you know, if you ask me my opinion, if you had sodium pentothal, if you had truth serum, I do not think that Nick would have went this direction. That's just my thought. That's not, you know, but I've tried to explain over the years that I think he's more politically savvy than somebody like Doug Peterson. I think he sees things before they happen, before they unfold, and I think he gets ahead of it. So, you know, I do think he hired these people, but I think he knew he had to fire, and he hasn't fired anybody technically. I think he knows he had to move on from certain people. And that's just not that he wanted to do it, but he was politically savvy enough to know he had to do it because at some point it would have been declared. I don't think it had to be declared because he got ahead of it.
The coach with the best resume, the coach with more experience than all of them, the coach who, you know, has been
the coach who beats them most of the time. He didn't beat Kyle Shanahan. So,
you know, I'm talking about Stoutland. I mean, I still can't get over Stoutland. I mean, he's the guy that has all the experience. He's the guy. He was like the adult in the room. He was the one that made me feel comfortable with the way everything was going because he was the constant. And now you alienate him. John, I'll tell you what. I don't care if it's the owner or if it's Nick. They better be right. I mean, now Jeff Stoutland's out the door in favor of a 33-year-old OC. Well, I hope this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, you can't run the Shanahan offense with Jeff Stoutland. You know, so, you know, I think people have to look inward. What do they want? What do they really want? Now the Eagles were going to bring him back as the offensive line coach and take away that run coordinator responsibility. And I shouldn't use take away because he kind of, from what I understand, he kind of gave it up. By the way, that's, you know, another thing Jeff said, which we talked about, that the players were on board with that, by the way, you know, because you how many times you hear Jordan Mailata talk about being under center. We need to be under center more.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of the players were on board with that because they knew it wasn't working. You know, people were selling out. People understood, well, if Saquon Barkley's offset in the gun, he doesn't have options, and they just, you know, basically the chaos theory and started upsetting things behind the line of scrimmage. And if you want to be honest, the running game significantly improved after they started going under center. Not nearly what it was the year prior, but so it did improve, and Saquon Barkley was a lot better. Remember how bad he was early in the season, the first 7-8 games, which was 3.4 yards per carry?
Yep.
And then it significantly improved. Again, to me, a lot of that had to do with the injuries to Landon that we're talking about, to Cam, to Lane eventually. So there's more than just going under center as the magic fix, but like, you know, everybody was pretty much on board with they had to do that, at least more. And, you know, Jeff doesn't want to do that. So.
Yeah. All right. So it's changing directions. Where do you think the pressure lies the most? Is it on, you know, Nick Sirianni? Do you think Jalen Hurts is on the same type of hot seat as Nick? Do you think Jalen has a longer leash than Nick would? I mean, it feels to me like they would blow Nick out well before they'd blow Jalen out. I mean, I could see them.
Yeah, I mean, that's
– and the whole offensive staff and then recreating another staff with Jalen still. I could see that.
They're both on the clock, but, you know, Nick's is a shorter clock, you know, shorter time frame, no doubt. But Jalen's now on the clock as well. Jalen's got the same message, you know, get on board or we're going to go in a different direction. It's just much harder to go in a different direction at quarterback than it is at head coach. Because A, it's tougher to find a quarterback. B, you have more financially invested in a quarterback. And the quarterback is more high profile. So, you know, think about if at this point, you know, you have the two dueling camps, the Jalenites and the people that hate Jalen Hurts. But think about the Jalenites if you decide to move on from Jalen Hurts. That would be quite the scene. So it's much more difficult to move on from a quarterback who's had success than a coach who's had success. And that's why Nick will be the first to go if they don't fix this thing. But Jalen will soon to follow.
You think there's a chance that this is the last year for both of them?
No, I don't think it would be the last year for
Like it would be the last year for Nick if it doesn't work.
Yes.
Agreed.
And then it's really getting close. And you're basically wasting a season if you fire Nick Sirianni, bring in another completely new coaching staff. And what are you going to do? Go back to the old method?
No, that's not what they're going to do.
So
it's
basically a race to find the succession plan at quarterback at that point.
Which means Howie Roseman would be doing work on that already.
Yeah, well, Howie's talking about everything all the time. Like, you know, the Joe Shane, I always talk about it, the stuff, and why nobody wants to go on off-season Hard Knocks because they fucked him by editing that incorrectly.
Wait, what part of it was?
Joe Shane talking about moving on from Saquon.
And the famous clip,
Yeah, and they edited it just incorrectly, and they kind of fucked him. Not to say made the right decision. Well, I do think he made the right decision for the Giants, but because Saquon, you know, what's he going to do for a shitty team? But they edited it completely. It was abysmal. It was unprofessional the way they edited it. for the clip, for the hype part of it. And then they showed the actual clip, which was more in context, but nobody pays attention to the actual clip and the damage is already done. But if people heard the discussions and the way they talk about their favorite player, I mean, everything is broached. And that's why nobody wants it on camera. Everything is broached.
Right. They're doing a job. That's what they got to do. They're paid a lot of money to do a job. I mean, that's obvious.
Exactly.
It just feels
sitting there glazing all their players. They're like,
no, but there is some favorites, right? I mean, there is some people that have longer leashes. There is some people that, you know, are the golden boys, whatever you want to call them.
There's legitimate superstar players who are like, well, I'm not, you know, that guy's in the prime of his career.
And well, don't you think Jeffrey Lurie thinks that about Jalen Hurts?
No, not anymore.
Really?
No.
I've always been under the impression that Jeffrey Lurie really likes Jalen.
I do think he really likes him. But they, you know, he's in that category of you better get on board.
Okay.
Even it, you know, there are very few, like Lane Johnson, you know, has reached a level where, you know, hopefully he comes back, and if he comes back, you know, everything's go. Even AJ's getting those discussions now. Obviously, they've had a million discussions about AJ. Now they got to talk seriously about Landon Dickerson. I'm sure they already have been, because they know better than anyone else what he went through last season. Yeah, you have these. Saquon had a bad. I guarantee they've had those discussions, which would, I think, upset some people. Very few people are off limits. And I think at one point Jalen Hurts was off limits, but no longer.
I'm surprised to hear that. I thought for sure that Jalen would still be in that category. I mean, you know, remember, being the quarterback of a football team is a lot bigger than just playing the position. These are, you know, $10 billion franchises.
Well, they love him as a person.
As a representative of the organization, yeah, I mean, that stuff matters too.
Yeah, but that's secondary. If you don't win, all that stuff is great.
He does win, though.
Again, to their level, yes.
You know, he went pretty good. I mean, I'll criticize.
Look, I'm the first one to say everybody thinks 11 wins is 5 wins, but that's where we are, and they're trying to win the whole thing.
Well, you're not going to win the whole thing every year. You could have Joe Burrow. You could have Josh Allen.
Yeah,
you could have
I know.
Mahomes.
I'm just answering your question. The fact that that stuff is great. That's awesome. But they're trying to win the Super Bowl, and I think they're really, really disappointed. And your big point about there being less juice about the Super Bowl, I don't think that's the case in league wide, but I think in Philadelphia, I think with, and I'm not even talking about the fans now, I think with the Eagles, they're like, man, we had a golden opportunity to go back, because they look at Seattle and New England and say, these are not great teams. And they say, man, we wasted an opportunity. That's where I think Jeffrey Lurie is. I think everybody's in the crosshairs. Everybody, including the quarterback. I think
that would surprise me greatly. Not that it would be longer than a year, but like if this year is the year, that would surprise me.
I didn't say this year is the year. I said it, but you know, if it goes wrong this year, Nick's out. And then you're going to reboot it with Jalen Hurts? That's a waste of another season. I think one day he'll wake up and think that. They've highlighted to everybody basically that we're doing this. Get on board. So the quarterback's got to get on board, which, by the way, I think is wrong. I plainly stated this. I not only think it's wrong, I think it's dumb. And I don't even, and I don't often say that about the Eagles, because even when I disagree with them, I generally see their thought process. And I say that, all right, that makes some sense. I just disagree with it. I don't think this makes sense. And I've said it and I'll continue to say it until they prove they can do it. If they prove they can do it, you know, just as similar as I didn't like the way they completely scaled back risk averse wise in 2024, but it worked. So I gave them credit. You know, if this works, I will give them credit. But on paper, it doesn't make sense. You get every coach compartmentalized. Just talk to them one-on-one. They'll all tell you the same thing. What I've been talking about all the time with Larry Karras and Nick Sirianni, and Nick has said it a million times. I don't give a shit what you want to run. Take advantage of what you have with the players. And now all of a sudden it's like, we're doing this. How does that make sense to anybody?
Well, because it feels to me that the reason that I wondered if it's Nick leading the charge, and I always knew that what the owner liked and desired, but you know, I do think Nick feels like it's basically you're almost like your days are numbered, and it's like I can back myself into the corner with the same offense, which feels like it's condensing in the pipe. The pipe feels like it's going to burst. There's not a lot of ways to go. Feels like defenses have figured out what they're trying to do. Take away the deep pass, and you can stack the box. Take away the run game. They're not all that prolific of an offense outside of that. They're very risk-averse. They're not the hardest offense to slow down for defenses. So I think Nick was more looking at it like, well, I'm going to get fired either way. Let me at least extend, you know, try and get to the big oak tree. We're the small little tree that only one team plays our way. The oak tree is the NFL, where everybody's hiring the McVay and the Shanahan and the offenses and all of these spread stuff. Every team wants to play like that. So I think Nick is trying to look at it like, if I can get to that, at least the boom potential of that is a lot higher than the boom potential of my offense, which where I just reached the Super Bowl, people still hated it. I just won the Super Bowl. People still hated it.
Yeah, but that's what, you know, I'm like, I would, and it's easier said than done, and you can't do it because it's a public-facing industry and your owner's not on board. I mean, that's the problem. Like, I bring this up all the time. It's like, all right, you want to be like everybody else? Then it becomes who's best at that. Are you going to be better at this than Kyle Shanahan?
Not even close. You'll be lucky to be in his anywhere in his ballpark.
Exactly. So why not try, as Howie said, to zig when everybody else is zagging? That's how they won. Now it becomes who does it best. Are you going
to
be better? The margins
were small enough to be, you know.
But they won.
They won, but that would be now two seasons ago going into this year.
Are you going to be better at this than Sean McVay?
No, I don't think so. But do you have a better roster than Sean McVay? Can you do the other things better than Sean McVay that boost your chances?
Well, they already have. They already have. But I kind of look at the framework as very ordinary, and I try to hammer that word because if it gets back to Jeffrey, it'll hit him hard. He doesn't want to be ordinary, and he's fucking ordinary when it comes.
Oh, he's listening. He's listening.
When it comes to this kind of stuff, he is ordinary. He is just not forward thinking.
You know, I would. I generally like Jeffrey Lurie in terms of I think he's a phenomenal
owner. I think he's the best owner in the NFL.
I think he does a lot of good things well. I don't agree with him on everything, but I think for the most part, he does a lot of things well. My suggestion to Jeffrey Lurie, not that he would ever take it or has a reason to take it, all right? He's far more successful than I am. You used the word to describe him the other day. I think you used suggestive. Is that right? Is that the word you used to describe him?
Mm-hmm.
I think he should couch that. I mean, if you're the owner and you want it to be a way, walk in there and put your foot down and say it. I mean, why are you making Don't make people guess. And I don't know if he is. Maybe he is being more blunt about it. But be blunt. State what you want and why you want it. And then let Howie and Nick go to work and filling in those cracks. Now, maybe he's done that. But I don't think being suggestive in this time is a good way to do it. That's just my.
Well, he doesn't want to be overbearing.
But when you're suggestive and you're not overbearing, but everybody knows what you want to the point where they placate to it anyway.
Well, I don't think he thinks the difference.
There's no difference, though.
I don't think he thinks that.
Well, you just said a couple minutes ago you think Nick made the change, if he had whatever drug you said if he was on. He wouldn't want to do this. Well, why is
he? Well, that's my speculation. This is all speculation. From the standpoint of if you had a gun to my head and I would, that's what I would tell you. I think Nick is doing it to placate Jeffrey. That's what I would tell you. Now, you know. My also, if you told me, I think from Jeffrey's perspective, he thinks, everybody agrees with me. You know, I bring up the Doug Peterson story all the time for a reason. When they upset Green Bay, when Green Bay was great and Aaron Rodgers was still at the height and they upset him and he went to his meeting in Green Bay at Lambeau and he went into this meeting and Jeffrey asked, you know, why are you running it so much? And Doug's like, what the fuck? We just upset Green Bay in Green Bay. And it's like, and I don't even think Jeffrey meant anything by it other than that's his nature. And he's a questioner and he likes to ask questions. But he is who he is. I don't think he realizes he is who he is to his employees to a certain extent. And when he suggests something, and that's why I use that word, it carries more weight than if I suggest something or you suggest something. And you know, him suggesting something isn't like
a suggestion. It's passive aggressive is what it is.
But I don't even think, I don't even know if he knows it. I don't know enough. Should.
That's what I mean. Like you can't be so bad.
When you're a billionaire owner of a
football team, come on, man.
Well, that's the point. When you're a billionaire owner of a football team, you're in a different world and it becomes your reality that it's different. I don't even think he knows it. But you know, I always say he's the best owner in the NFL. And I continue to say that because there's a lot of bad owners in the NFL. But he's not a football expert. And when he delves into football stuff, I don't like it. Now, I'll say he has every right to do it. It's his team. He can do whatever he wants. But it's not going to end well. That's my perspective on that.
A good opening segment here, John. I tell you what. I didn't feel great about the Eagles after what happened, you know, the last couple of days. I'm starting to feel worse and worse. When is this going to end? How much lower can we go here? I mean, now we potentially, I don't think it's going to be true, maybe for either of them, but it is potentially that Lane Johnson and Landon Dickerson are not here next year, along with Jeff Stoutland. Now, I think they're going to be back, and I think it'll be better than that.
Well, I think Lane's going to be back. I think Landon's going to be back. And I'm starting to go back to under 50% for AJ. I think there's
under meaning he's going to be here.
Well, I've been 52-48 that he's gone. Now right. I'm sort of like 52-48 that he's back.
Okay. All right.
So I think there's way too many. It's February 6th. Like, this is a constant thing. I think this is where Philadelphia does hurt the Eagles. And it's not doesn't have anything to do with the fans. There's such a passionate base of people. And they're constantly, look at us. We do a show called Birds 365. We're talking about this team year-round. And it's been sustainable to the point where I don't know how many years we've been doing it, close to five.
5 years, yep.
5 years in April. How many Eagles shows have popped up in that time? How much we didn't have all this competition when we started this.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's true.
How many have popped up?
Show grew 20% in the last year, John.
Yeah, that's what I'm most proud of. How many have popped up to copy what we do? With bigger budgets, by the way, and still we beat most of them for viewership.
It's true.
So I'm spiking the football there a little bit, but I only bring that up because it's the passion of this fan base and the passion, and they're constantly like, this shit happens everywhere when it comes to guys who are contemplating retirement, but nobody talks about it because it's February 6th and Philadelphia, it's front page news. Like Landon Dickerson told you after the loss to San Francisco, he told everybody, you saw the stories, you saw the video. He had a really difficult season. And he's going to recede back in a normal city. He would recede back into, you know, mowing the lawn, going to Lowe's with his wife. And he probably recharged the batteries and it wouldn't even be that much of a hiccup. This is where Philadelphia does hurt the organization a little bit because they're always under such a microscope and normal things are turned into bigger than they really are.
But can I just ask you this? I mean, and I appreciate your point and I think it's correct. With Landon Dickerson, like, is this being made too big? He's 27 years old and you've talked about how bad the injuries are. And if he walks away, I mean, that's not going to be that easy to replace. Or is it just an overreaction from a sense of we have no idea if he's going to be back or not? But I think even uncertainty is a big story here.
Well, it is a big – I'm not saying it's not a big story. I mean, it's a very good player, 3-time Pro Bowl player before last season. It's a very good player. If he walks away at 27 and more people walk away early because they make so much money – you know, more people do walk away early now. So I'm by no means am I trying to downplay it as a possibility. But I think it's normal things with injured players around the NFL who've had a bunch of injuries. It's not abnormal. And to me, the biggest question is, you know, ultimately, I think he's going to come back. We'll see. You know, that's dependent upon the doctors and how he feels and all that stuff. The bigger question to me is he going to play at the same level because of those injuries? And now you're shifting schemes on top of it, which, again, on paper, he's one of the guys who don't necessarily fit into what you want to do from a traits and a playing standpoint. He should be in what he was in. When he was a 3-time Pro Bowl player, power scheme, combo, duo, get to the second level. How many blocks in the 2,000-yard Saquon season at the second level did you see from Landon Dickerson? You know, and that stupid tush push that everybody so loved and so shit on everybody.
It's been awful.
That beat the living shit out of Landon Dickerson, who was the key to it all. But they're not real people. They're video games. Well, guess what? His MRI says that fucked him up, amongst other things. MRIs.
Yeah, right. Better pluralize that.
So, you know, but this is, you know, These I don't want to say they're common at 27, but there's a long history. Luke Kuechly just made the Hall of Fame. You know, he left early.
Yeah, he did. He was amazing, Luke Kuechly. He was a great player.
You know, I remember Chris Borland, for people that remember him. He was a rookie who was might have been certainly was in the defensive rookie of the year. He had a really good rookie season. Just walked away. Now he was more concerned about. That's when the CTE stuff was really getting a lot of publicity and, you know, almost scaring people. And he decided to walk away when he had his health. You know, I talk about Sharif Floyd because he's a Philly kid all the time. He was turning into a really good player. And he had knee surgery, and they nicked a nerve, and he was done. You know, it's a tough sport, and he's gone through a lot. But, and look, if he decides to walk away, the silver lining to that would be, well, I don't know if he fits the scheme anyway.
We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. A lot of change for this football team potentially this summer, and we will see how they come out of it. John, plenty of other topics we're going to get into today. I do want to hit on some super chats. We got to talk about this scheme change, all right? They're changing the scheme, everybody. We just got a comment a couple seconds ago, John. I'm going to read to you because it might not be true anymore. You used to say, John, when we would talk about the offense, all right, what was the number one thing you used to say when we would talk about the offense, as inept as it would look in some weeks? You used to say one thing. This is what you got to do on the offense. What was it?
Improve the running game.
Yep, that's it. That's what you said every week. And in a way, you were right. So RMP checks in. He says, Eagles have to get back to running the ball. That's the easiest fix to it all. Is that still true? I mean, if they're changing the scheme, you got to run the ball. Don't get me wrong. I understand you got to run the ball. But, hey, maybe how much they ran last year would have been perfectly good in the Shanahan and the new system that they're running.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's married together. And I think it's easy to say if you run the ball well, you're going to be better, which you are. It's the difference between the Eagles in 2024 and 2025, at least from an efficiency standpoint. You're going to be better in the passing game. But, yeah, if you want to run that scheme, you can't just revert back to what you were in 2024. And my issue, and I wrote about this before Stoutland left, I'm like, because it was told to me, yeah, they're going in that direction. I'm like, is that the proper scheme for Saquon Barkley? Is that the proper scheme for Landon Dickerson? Is that the proper scheme for Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson? I think Cam will have no problems with it. He's a movement-based player if he's healthy. Tyler Steen, you know, I think he'll be fine. He can toggle back and forth. Like I said, everybody's like, well, take Caden Proctor at 23. I don't think you can even consider Caden Proctor now. Mm-hmm. If you're truly going to that,
right?
It changes so much.
And now you don't have the O-line coach to coach him up. Now, I'm not saying Jeff's, you know, completely 100% irreplaceable, but I'm pretty sure the next guy's not going to be as good as he was.
That's where I think people – he doesn't want to coach it, and you don't want him coaching it.
No, I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm saying he's gone. So you got to coach O-lineman. Is he going to coach him up as good as Jeff Stoutland did? Regardless of scheme.
Well – but that factors into it. If you're hyper-conscious, and this is why I don't like being hyper-conscious about scheme. Because if you're going to play a scheme through hell or high water, and it seems like the Eagles are going that way, and that was my biggest concern, I think you're doing things backwards. And ultimately, I still, I should have mentioned that when we're talking about Nick. I still think from Nick's perspective, and again, speculation, I want to make that clear. I think he thinks, as a very politically savvy person, I think he thinks, I'll jump through the hoops in the off season. And remember, it's February 6th or whatever. And I'll get to the season. And then it's about winning the game and everybody on board. Whatever I have to do to win a game and everybody will get on board. I think that's the way he thinks. And that, in the past, that's proven to be true with Kellen Moore. because they came in with that same mindset. Well, we're going to do it differently. And they didn't. They tried, but they didn't.
Going to be interesting to see what ends up happening. I want to